Exodus 23 on Through the Word today. Welcome back to The Journey. Chris, you still think the law is boring?
Actually, the laws in chapter 23 are about justice. And matters of justice are always interesting, even when they're boring.
Nice, I think. Well, let's dig in, shall we? Verse 1. Do not spread false reports. Do not help a guilty person by being a malicious witness.
Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong.
The opening laws apply in court, but the ideals here are for life. These are essential matters of justice, and justice is foundational to a society.
Justice is also part of God's nature and character. Remember, God's law is a reflection of God's heart. God is just, and he calls his people to live justly and establish justice.
As usual, the details of this law were for ancient Israel, but the heart of it is for us. And although apart from Christ we cannot fulfill God's righteousness, in him and empowered by the Spirit we can and must live justly.
It's also good to remember that all of the law is summed up in love. So matters of justice are expressions of love. Reinhold Niebuhr put it this way: love is the motive, but justice is the instrument. And Cornel West said, justice is what love looks like in public.
Wow, stepping up the quotes today, huh? Yesterday it was Princess Bride, today it's Niebuhr and West.
I read. I don't just quote movies and songs.
I wasn't saying you don't read.
Also, I Googled justice quotes. Found some really good ones, too.
Nice.
Also, I should point out that when we quote someone, that does not necessarily imply that we agree with them on all topics. It only implies that we are people who are willing to listen, whether or not we agree.
That's a good point. And when it comes to matters of justice, it's important for us to remember that justice is not just for the people we agree with. It's for everyone. Justice is foundational to all human society, and it requires all of us to work past the barriers that divide us and work with those whom we disagree with.
Nice. Okay, back in verse 1, we're instructed not to spread false reports. Gossip gets around. Don't be the conduit. When you pass along lies, you are helping the wicked by being a malicious witness. Even if you're just passing along someone else's story, you're still a false witness.
And verse 2 is essential. Do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. That means don't give in to popular opinion or mob rule. Ask Pontius Pilate how that worked out. James Baldwin said, ignorance allied with power is the most ferocious enemy justice can have.
Nice.
I can Google too.
Well done.
And verse 3 is interesting. Do not show favoritism to a poor person in a lawsuit. Justice is blind and must be equitable for all. Justice cannot favor the poor man out of pity, nor the rich man out of envy. In matters of truth, we must resist the urge to side with the underdog.
But verse 6 offers a balance. Do not deny justice to your poor people in their lawsuits. A case should never be decided on who can afford the best lawyer. Proverbs says, the righteous care about justice for the poor.
Verse 4 moves to social responsibility. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to return it.
Great word. Don't show favoritism in court, and don't show it in helping people. If someone is in trouble, don't stop to decide if they're your friend or not. Just help. In verse 5, if you see the donkey of someone who hates you fallen down under its load, help them with it.
This is good news for oxen and donkeys. But it's interesting how God intertwines matters of courtroom and political justice with simple acts of personal justice. The two are tightly connected. Justice is not simply a matter for government. Helen Keller said, until the great mass of the people shall be filled with the sense of responsibility for each other's welfare, social justice can never be attained.
Of course, Verse 7 says, keep far from false charges. The legal system must protect the innocent. And in verse 8, do not accept a bribe.
Then in verse 9, do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt.
That verse is a personal favorite of mine. It's nearly identical to something in the last chapter, and well worth repeating. Do not oppress the outsider. And this time, it gives reason, because you know how it feels. Think back to junior high. I think every one of us knows what it feels like to be the outsider. I spent my teen years feeling like I did not belong. But as hard as those years were, I'm so thankful for the experience. Because when I found Christ, I found a place of belonging. But I didn't forget that old awful feeling. When I became a youth pastor, I was determined to be one who welcomes and to teach kids how to help others feel like they belong. Hospitality is more than just a kindness. It is an extension of personal justice, welcoming the outsider and making them feel that they now belong.
It's the Old Testament's answer to Mean Girls. And what's true for teenagers is also true for ethnic groups. But welcoming foreigners gets messy when you face a refugee crisis. The answers are not easy, but the essentials remain true. Do not oppress a foreigner. Do not abuse, do not enslave, do not take advantage, do not hold down. And when you see oppression, act against it. William Wilberforce said, "A private faith that does not act in the face of oppression is no faith at all."
Dude, killing it with the quotes. William Wilberforce. Now there's a great story about faith standing against oppression.
And verses 10 to 12 are laws for Sabbath day and Sabbath year. Every seventh year, the land gets a break.
The final section of the chapter shifts away from laws as the Lord gives direction for where the Israelites will go, or more precisely, how they'll get there. Verse 20. "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and to bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says."
This angel from God who will lead Israel is described as no ordinary angel. In verse 21, God says, "My name is in him." God's name always connects to God's nature, so that seems to indicate that the angel was God himself leading Israel. Most likely, this is the one called the Angel of the Lord, who already appeared to Abraham, Hagar, Jacob, and Moses, and will later appear to Joshua, Gideon, and to Samson's parents.
You know, I am almost convinced that this angel is Jesus, but I have to admit, I also love the mystery of it. I'm okay with not knowing for sure. I don't have to know. The key here is trusting in God's leading. The angel will lead them. And for us, Jesus goes ahead of us to lead our way too. The road ahead has many challenges. Trust the Lord.
Trust God, but do not make a covenant with the people of the land or with their gods. God has given the people of Canaan 400 years to repent, but they were utterly lost to depravity. The violence and sin of the people was beyond healing, and after four centuries, God was determined now to drive them out.
Yet God says it won't happen all at once. And in much the same way, God does not solve all your life problems at once either. But little by little, as you trust and obey, as you grow in him, you find God faithful to lead you step by step.
We should clarify here that the Canaanites in the Promised Land way back then are not the same as the Arab Palestinians who share the land of Israel today.
Right. The situation today is a separate and very different story. Christians today too often respond out of ignorance. I know I did, but I recently visited Israel and Palestine and got to know Palestinian Christians. There are many thousands of them.
I actually married into a Christian Palestinian family, so I appreciate you saying that.
This isn't the place to get into detail. Just understand that this Old Testament story is not the story of today. And both sides of the modern conflict would do well to remember God's instruction. do not oppress a foreigner. You yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners.
Well, that's it for us. Read Exodus 23. Do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And we'll see you back in chapter 24. And join us on the B-side to dig deeper.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.